Hello, world. I'm Greg Batten. News, information, and comment coming your way right after this very important message. Great time. First time trip to Abingdon, Virginia. At the Greendale Chapel there with Pastor Jerry Eggers. Oh, it was fantastic. That's just a great group of people up there. So grateful to Dawn and Larry for putting a bug in Pastor's ear and letting us come up there and preach the Word of God. Gave our testimony yesterday in the morning service, and then evening talked a bit about the demonic, and just a really great reception. They've got a fantastic work up there. God is blessing in a mighty way. And Pastor Jerry, really, really sharp guy. I enjoyed being with those folks yesterday. So, hey, we're coming up to fall fundraiser. That's going to be this Wednesday. I know you're praying about it. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right here at WHCB 91.5. Gonna have a great time and really looking forward to that. And then this coming weekend, we'll be down in Elizabethton, Tennessee, with Pastor Nathan Jennings, the folks there at the First Free Will Baptist Church. So, God has been, it has been good. I love this part of the country, and there's some really fantastic people here. So, again, a big thank you to Greendale Chapel up there in Abingdon, Virginia, for such a great time yesterday. We were blessed. They did it. A smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used as a gender reveal party. I don't understand those things at all. Ignited one of 23 major fires burning in California, according to fire officials. The El Dorado Fire, currently burning near Oakdale in San Bernardino County, has forced the evacuation of 3,000 residents. It has already scorched more than 7,000 acres and is only 5% contained as of now. CAL FIRE reminds the public that with the dry conditions and the critical fire weather, it doesn't take much, I guess not, to start a fire. Nancy, what's the latest, huh? More than a dozen protesters gathered outside the San Francisco home of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week following her controversial visit to a salon in the city, according to reports there. The rally occurred after Pelosi was captured on video getting her hair cut inside the Eve Salon SF, even though it was closed due to coronavirus-related ordinances. Some of the protesters, described as angry salon customers, wore curlers in their hair. Others hung blow dryers and hair curlers in a tree outside her residence to express their frustration. They were mad. What she has done is just a slap in the face of not just a salon owner, but every woman, every man, every person who's unemployed in the state of California, who has lost their jobs and lost their livelihoods, many of whom are my friends, said one protester. Nancy, I think you're in hot water. See, part of this problem out here is the double standard that's being exhibited. San Francisco gyms have been forced by the liberal city to remain closed for months as part of a measure implemented to reduce the spread of the pandemic. But city leaders have applied different rules for fitness facilities used by city employees. Here you go. City-owned indoor gyms have been open now for months, all while privately owned indoor gyms have struggled to stay afloat. It's crushing private gym owners. Yep, double standard. People hate it. Ain't gonna work. Do you know Dinesh D'Souza? A super guy and conservative filmmaker, sharp guy, and a scholar. He said Sunday that recent rioting, political divisions in the United States of America could lead to the rise of, I believe this true, talked about this yesterday, citizen militias. People are tired of it. Where's my gun? If societal tensions are not quickly de-escalated and diffused, there's going to be big problems in the United States of America. The problem is that you respond to rioting through the lawful authorities, which through the police, if things escalate beyond a certain point when you call in federal assistance. Now, if things escalate beyond that point, then you call in the military. Of course, the president's talked about that. Local governments, state governors are calling down the cops and licensing their own private gangs. If the cops won't protect us, then you're going to see the rise of citizen militias all around the country. We already are. Yeah, it's going to happen, people. I'm not advocating this. I'm not predicting this. It's a natural, inevitable response to the militarization on one side in America, said D'Souza. His new documentary film called The Trump Card is set to come out next month. He claims the escalation of division by the Democratic Party has set off a chain reaction which has caused cities to break down and inspired hardworking taxpayers to start new lives in more rural areas of America. Isn't that something? Well, here's a part of the new America. A 12-year-old kid in Colorado got a 5-day suspension for flashing a toy gun across his computer screen during an online art class. Are you kidding me? The El Paso County Sheriff's Office said that although the teacher thought it was a toy gun, authorities still did a welfare check on Isaiah Elliott without parental notification. It was really frightening and upsetting for me as a parent, especially as a parent of an African-American young man, especially given what's going on in this country right now, said Isaiah's father, Curtis Elliott. He said his son, who has been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and has learning disabilities, wasn't aware the gun was shown on the screen in his distance learning. He was in tears crying when the cops came. This is unbelievable. Just in tears, said the dad, scared to death. We were all scared. I literally was scared for my boy's life, said Curtis Elliott. Well, sir, it's just one part of the new America that most of us are very confused about, and we know who the author of confusion is. Gun on a screen, suspended for 5 days. Good grief. The president said yesterday that the Department of Education is examining the use of the New York Times Magazine 1619 Project in schools and warned that institutions that teach this alternative narrative of American history could lose their federal funds. The project is based on the premise that American history began in 1619, cited as the date African slaves arrived in Virginia, and that everything following this should be viewed through that lens. The Pulitzer Center released a school curriculum based on this project, and Trump responded to a tweet stating that California would be using it. The Department of Education is looking at this thing, Trump said. If so, they will not be funded. All right, go get them, Trumper. Well, this is the kind of news you want to hear if you're in New York City. Gun violence continues to increase there. Officials have released a new surveillance video of a recent shootout in the lobby of an apartment building in Brooklyn. The New York Police Department said the incident happened shortly after 1 o'clock on August the 25th inside the Marlboro Houses in Brooklyn's Gravesend neighborhood. A group of unidentified men fired several rounds at each other in the lobby of the apartment building, according to police. How would you like to live there? New York City gun violence surged 166% in the month of August compared to the same month last year, according to police. Well, for some reason, I've been asking a lot of folks recently, have you done anything stupid? Here's one. A man in France was injured on Friday. He blew up part of his home while trying to, what? Kill a fly with one of those electric swatters. I've used one. Those are fun. The man who, bless his heart, in his 80s, was about to eat dinner when he spotted the fly. He picked up the bud-killing racket and started swatting at it, unaware that there was a gas canister leaking from the home. Ah, boy. A reaction from the electric swatter and the gas caused an explosion that destroyed the kitchen and damaged the roof. He managed to escape the blast with only light burns on his hand, was sent to a local hospital. I wonder if he'll use that swatter again. More news right after this important message. Hey, it's all coming down, I'm telling you. This Wednesday is the start of the fall fundraiser at WHCB 91.5. We are excited again to be a part of all the action this year. That's going to be this Wednesday. Starts 7 o'clock in the morning. Goes all day long, all day Thursday and Friday. Raising funds to keep WHCB in operation. And you are such a big part of that. You have been such a blessing to this station. Dr. Hill's been excited about your giving and the move over to Bluff City from here in Blountville. That's going to be exciting. So we got kind of a twofer going here. Yeah, raising funds for the move and to keep this thing going on a daily basis. Christian Radio, a very special thing around America. And starting this Wednesday, right here at WHCB, it's the fall fundraiser. We're going to have a great time, interviews with people, and, well, you know how this thing works. It's good. Be praying about it, my friend, and see how you might participate. Well, driving around down here in the Tennessee area, say a lot of school buses, grass growing up around them. Oh my, this pandemic has turned a bus ride to school into a potential logistics calamity, they say. Transportation directors around the country have been clamoring to figure out how to effectively follow health restrictions like social distancing and proper sanitizing as the school year gets underway, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. Many school bus drivers are retirees, a higher risk category for the virus, and school systems with alternating schedules must devise what multiple bus schedules catering to different groups of students with varying routes. So, yeah, this whole thing has just thrown America into a total tizzy, has it not? $23 trillion lost, and I'm telling you, there is just something strange going on in all of this, isn't there? You know it's true. A group of carjackers picked the absolute wrong person to try to steal a car from. The armed holdup backfired completely when an off-duty correctional officer thwarted the carjacking by returning gunfire to him. The carjacking going awry happened around 2:30 Sunday in South Chicago. The off-duty correctional officer was driving down an alley when at least three males approached the vehicle with intent on stealing the car, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. One of the men pulled out a gun, demanded the driver get out of his car. When the officer didn't get out of the vehicle, several shots were fired in his direction. The driver was not struck, and the 36-year-old returned fire. Surprise, surprise. Staggering thought and stat, 39% of employed people in households making less than $40,000 were furloughed or lost their jobs in the month of March, according to the feds. They calculated that. And households making more than $100,000 just 13%. Before this pandemic, an increasing number of American workers were in the business of feeding and pampering and caring for other Americans, especially the wealthy ones. The Wall Street Journal's Christopher Mims writes, and it's those jobs, Uber drivers, building, cleaning, security, hotel workers, that were most harmed by the social distancing restrictions. When higher income people stop traveling, going to offices, eating out, it creates a disastrous ripple effect across America. And there are a lot of people doing this kind of work. 9.2% of U.S. employment was in food preparation and serving in May of 2019. Compounding the issue is telework. Well documented that higher-paying knowledge workers are able to transition right into the WFH far more easily than lower-paid employees can, meaning it's easier to preserve knowledge, economy, jobs in this country. It's sad. Let's take a look. In hospitality and tourism, sports, job postings are stuck at least 40% below last year's trend. Banking and finance and software development down 30%. Job postings in retail, interestingly, have only dropped 4.5%, while construction and loading and stocking have seen gains in the last year. Kind of a thumbnail sketch there. This is so much a part of the confusing times in which we live, and young people watching those adults, those in authority. Some families are outraged today over the expletive-laden rant by assistant principals there in the school district in New York. Assistant principal. He's facing scrutiny after delivering a profanity-laced tirade during a Black Lives Matter protest in Rochester. Stephen Lysenko, ninth grade AP teacher, in Spencerport High School in suburban Rochester, accused of spewing anti-cop rhetoric during a Facebook Live audio and used the F-word more than once to talk about the police. Yep, so many are escaping today from Moronville. And many of them showing up in the public school and college system in America. Where's my gun? And speaking of guns and violence, this is an interesting stat. It really is. A police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. Think about it. 18 and a half times. I wonder if there's any credence to this. Biden will not be president of the United States, even if he's elected. The Democratic Party will use the 25th Amendment to remove him from office and put Kamala Harris in that slot. This is not a vote between Trump and Biden. It's a vote between Trump and a corrupt political party that has already attempted to overthrow an election and overthrow a sitting president. So You vote very wisely November the 3rd, my friend. This is a classic. Let me get this straight now. All the projections were wrong because all of the assumptions were wrong. But we still can't go outside because the people who were wrong said so. Does that sound about right? And I said this yesterday at Greendale Chapel. Churches need to stop focusing on finding pastors with those fancy degrees and focus on finding pastors filled with the Holy Spirit of God and some fire in their life. Charles Stanley said that in Days Gone By. It's a good one, my friend. And just as a reminder here on Hello World, this is a politically incorrect place. One nation under God, we say Merry Christmas, salute the flag, thank you troops and police officers, etc., etc. Yeah, that's the way it should be, my friend. Where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Well, after all was said and done last night, I was able to get out for a while with Pastor Jerry Edgars there at Greendale Chapel with the Sullins family and Thomas as well. We had a great time, and just to hear Pastor talk about his life in the ministry and some of the silly things that he had us roaring. And I got to thinking about my own life in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and how they paralleled. He and I are about the same age. We've been married about the same period of time, been in church about the same period. It is just pretty interesting. Somebody from the North, a Northerner, Yankee, and this Southern boy, Pastor Edgars. Yeah, it was just a great time. We're all the same. One way that we're definitely the same is we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you done that yet? Yeah, you'll be a part of an elite family. Narrow is that way that leadeth unto life. If you've never been saved, my friend, today would be a great day to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Ask forgiveness of sin. Accept Jesus. So how do we do it? How do we handle all the trouble coming our way, especially at this time in America? God said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, no one goes through life, no one, without bearing some kind of burden. It's an up-and-down world you and I live in. Get used to it. Single parents know the burden of raising children and doing that alone. People who lose their jobs, we just talked about that, know the overwhelming financial pressure that comes from being unemployed. Women caught in a hostile home environment, familiar with the burden of abuse. Widowed and divorced people know the pain of rejection. People alone in a new city know the burden of loneliness. Christians struggling with the memory of past sins know the burden of false guilt. Satan and his demons do a great job there. The burdens we bear are as different as the people who carry them. But each of us, regardless of our personal burden, is deeply loved by Almighty God. That's your escape, my friend. In Matthew 11, Jesus makes it clear that he will provide. He's going to do it. The needed peace and rest to all people who bring their burdens to him. He said, come to me, didn't he? All you who are weary and heavy laden, is that you today? He said, I will give you rest. Do you believe that? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, God said. My load is light. Isn't that great? Christ's words offer compassion and refreshment for us. There's an invitation to those who are exhausted and overwhelmed by life's difficulties to draw near to him for renewal and for hope today. God's message of grace through Jesus Christ is relevant to our circumstances today. Whatever your burden is, you got one, sure you do. He wants to bear the emotional weight of that for you. And the first step to true freedom is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you ever done that? That's it. If you confess your sins and acknowledge him as your Savior, he's going to save you and lift the burdens of eternal death. God loves us regardless of the burdens we bear. He loves believers who are trying to do their very best yet struggle with burdens much stronger than they are. Doesn't make any difference to Jesus where you are in your life. He loves you, and he wants you to experience a freedom known only to those who trust him completely. In reading Psalm 55:22, he says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. God tells us to cast our burdens on him, and he will protect and keep us. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, Psalm 68:19. When we give our burdens to him, he promises to take them unto himself, and he promises not to allow us to bear more than we can handle, 1 Corinthians 10:13. When the weight becomes too much for you, Jesus promises to carry your heartache, your pain, your anxiety and fears and feelings of rejection. He sees your burden. He does today. He understands the pressure. He brings relief and refreshment. Jesus will never demand that you lay your burden down. It's something that you do voluntarily. Only a person humble in spirit can truly lay a burden at the feet of Jesus. People caught up in pride believe that they can carry that thing alone. I'm a self-made man. Really. Eventually, things will work out. But it seldom happens that way, does it? God gives eternal peace and rest to those who are willingly submitting themselves to Him. God never intended the Christian life to be difficult. It's something God wants us to learn to do by faith, not by sight. He calls us to live each day in a childlike trust, expecting Him to ease the weight of our burdens. Learning to walk by faith is the beginning of transferring our burdens to Jesus, and we also must humble ourselves in spirit. A person with humility can admit an inadequacy in carrying heavy burdens. If you keep telling yourself, I can handle this thing, I'm going to handle this thing no matter what happens, and God will allow you to do it and allow you to struggle, and you can pull and push against the burden in your own human strength. That's no fun. Some burdens are just too heavy for us to bear without God's help, such as a sudden death of a loved one. Some of you experienced that recently. The news maybe of a son or a daughter caught in some immoral lifestyle, or they've done something illegal. They might even be in jail today. These burdens, my friend, become too large and complicated. People look for something to ease their load, but out of pride, they refuse to turn to God. Instead, they turn to alcohol and drugs and sinful relationships and other forms of escape to relieve that pressure. And soon there they are, trapped under an insurmountable weight. They have thoughts of giving up. Maybe many listening right now are in that position. Maybe even taking your own life, that comes in. When we submit to Jesus Christ, He gets under the burden with us. We no longer bear that thing alone, and that is a big deal. It really is. Submission always leads to a deeper level of fellowship with Jesus Christ, while sin always separates from the holiness of God. Sin, you will discover, takes you farther than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay. My friend, today, why not turn your life over to Jesus Christ? So many people you see smile on the outside and they're crying on the inside. A burden carried alone is just an exhausting thing. A burden shared with Jesus Christ is light and easy because He promises to bear that thing with you. And that, my friend, is a big deal. Why not today? How to handle those burdens. Thank you, Jesus, for Matthew 11:28-29. Good stuff. So I was talking earlier about stupid things people do, like blowing up your house with an electric fly swatter. This woman's got a good one. She says, this is stupid. In my junior year of high school, this guy asked me on a date. He rented a Redbox movie and made us a pizza. We were watching the movie. The oven beeped, so the pizza was done. He looked me dead in the eye and he said, this is always the worst part. I couldn't figure out what he was doing. I then watched this boy open the oven, pull the pizza out with his bare hands, rack and all, screaming at the top of his lungs. We never had a second date. I can understand that one, ma'am, for sure. Hey, you've been listening to Hello World. News, information, and comment coming your way every day at this time. Tell a friend about the broadcast. Be my friend, would you? Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. I need a friend this Monday. I surely do. Don't forget, it all starts this Wednesday at WHCB in Tri-Cities, Tennessee, talking about that fall fundraiser. Looking forward to our time together Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's it. I've had my say for another day. God bless. Tomorrow, same time, same place. Thank you very much.